Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Minds that we would be receptive to your word. Lord, we pray and we ask that not because of me, but because of you, Father God, your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. So, Father God, give us what it is that we need because we need you and can't make it without you. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 2 Corinthians verse 11 through 6. It says, "Would to God ye could bear with me for a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, that so your mind should be corrupted from simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not at wit behind in the very chief apostle, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." In all things. Amen. 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 This Sunday, if you're writing down a title for the sermon, if you're writing down a title, taking notes, this Sunday, it's danger, danger, danger. Amen. Danger, danger, danger. I know that Mike date us back a little bit, but I think it was Will Robinson that said danger, danger. I think if you think back to Steve Irwin, the crocodile man, he said danger, danger, danger. Today, this word gives a warning of danger, danger, danger. I want to go ahead and read to you in another version, because I know sometimes King James Version, that "for thou art too art wit" and all that other kind of stuff, sort of throws us off a little bit. And I saw some faces go sort of frown up a little bit when I was reading that. So let me go ahead and read it to you in another translation. It might break it down a little bit easier for you. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. I'm going to read from the Message version. I think the Message version is one that breaks it down as simple as it possibly can be broken down. So let me go ahead and read it from there. It says, "Will you put up with a little foolishness aside from me? Please, but just for a moment." He says, "The thing that has me so upset is that I care about you so much. This is the passion of God burning inside me. I promised your hand in marriage to Christ. I presented you as a pure virgin to her husband. And now I'm afraid that exactly as the snake seduced Eve with his smooth patter, you are being lured away from the simple purity of your love for Christ. It seems that if someone shows you preaching quite another Jesus than we preach, different spirit, different message, you put up with him not quite nicely. But if you put up with these big shot apostles, why can't you put up with simple little old me? I'm as good as they are." Verse 6. "It's true that I don't have their voice, haven't mastered that smooth eloquence that impresses you so much, but when I do open my mouth, I at least know what I'm talking about. We haven't kept anything back. We let you in on everything." Amen. Amen. Did that break that down a little bit better for some folk? Amen. Amen. So that's the message version of that. Danger, danger, danger. So here what we have is we have Paul, and he's talking about false apostles. He's talking to the church of Corinth. And of course, you can't just take these few scriptures and get the whole picture. You're going to have to read a little bit before. You're going to have to read a little bit after to get what's going on. But Paul is breaking down and saying, look, there's false teachers, there's false gospels, there's false stuff going out here, and you can't let this thing get you thrown off. He's basically giving a warning of danger, danger, danger to the church of Corinth. Amen? Amen. The church of Corinth was getting caught up in all kinds of stuff, and Paul says, I'm here to warn you about these things. The first thing that I want to talk about, I'm going to try to stick with the letter D's to try to make it a little bit easier to remember. We got danger, danger, danger as a title, but there's three things that you look out for when we're talking about danger, when we're talking about danger. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's look here. I'm going to read this in King James Version. It says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, in my foolishness, and indeed bear with me. It says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So now it says, espouse you to one husband, that I may present you as a virgin to Christ. So what story is it that we know that we see that word espouse? It's Luke, and it's talking about Joseph and Mary. It's talking about Joseph and Mary. And so what had been happened with Joseph and Mary is that it had been decided. There's that D. It had been decided that Joseph and Mary were going to be married. So to get away from danger, to get away from all of that kind of stuff, you got a decision to make. You got a decision to make whether you're going to put God first or not. It's that simple. It's that simple in your life. How do you keep yourself from danger? You have to make your own decision within yourself to make sure that you're going to say, look, this is what I'm going to follow. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to be about. The decision starts with you. The decision starts with you. You have to make a decision. You have to decide whether Christ will be first in your life, or is he going to be second fiddle? Or is he just going to be something that you pull out when you're going through trouble? Or is he just going to be who you're calling on now that you've got a bad doctor's report? Is he going to be the one that you pull out when you're now looking for a job because you got let go of your other one? Or are you going to decide that no matter where you are, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what the circumstance is, you're going to keep God first? Paul says, look, hey, I went ahead and I preached to you and prayed for you, and it was all you had decided that Christ is going to be who you was going to follow. What is this that I'm hearing now that you follow another stuff? That other stuff is so easily getting you off course. How is it this stuff can so easily get you off course if you've decided to put Christ first? Amen? Amen? That's the first D. First D. How do you deal with the first danger? First danger is that you deal with it based upon your decision. If you decided to follow Christ, that should take care of your first danger. The enemy now, when he comes up against you, has identified you and know exactly who you are because you've decided to follow Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen, amen. So let's go to the next one. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Let's go ahead and stop right there. So the first danger deals with decision. The second danger is going to deal with your dedication. The second D is going to deal with your dedication. You got a decision to make, decision of whether you're going to put God first, whether you're going to put Christ first in your life. And now, after the decision has been made, you have to be dedicated to it. You have to be committed to it. You have to say, if I'm going to put him first in everything, then that's exactly what I got to do. I got to put him first in everything. You can make the decision, but as long as you make the decision and you don't have the dedication to go with it, then you're treading on terrible waters. There's danger. There's danger there. There's danger there. It goes back and it talks about Eve, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Adam and Eve were created, right? They were created to take care of the garden. They were created to serve God. They were created to commune with God. They were created to be there for one another. But the serpent comes in. The serpent comes in talking smooth. The serpent comes in saying all this other kind of thing. And he ended up tricking Eve. And in turn, Eve ended up getting Adam as well. And so now all mankind, and now we all have to deal with inherent sinful nature. It's not a female's fault. It's not all that other kind of stuff people would kind of tell you. It's something that happened. And it's something that we got to deal with it. And it's something that we have to learn from. we ought to learn that once we've decided to follow Christ, we have to not only just follow him, but we got to be dedicated to following him. We got to be able to be able to put aside other stuff that the world is going to throw at us and not let it throw us off course. Today, what I find so crazy today about believers, based upon believers from long ago, I remember my grandmother. I remember some of the older ladies in the church. I remember some of the older deacons in the church. They were dedicated. I mean, it didn't take much. Now, let it go ahead and rain on a Sunday morning. Now, let it go ahead and be too cold outside. Let folk wake up and say, you know what, I ain't got nothing to wear. It don't take much now for folk in their dedication to say, you know what, I'm not really dedicated to that like it was in the past. Well, I got this going on and I got that going on. Well, where's your dedication? Where's your dedication to doing? And don't get me wrong. It's not where's your dedication to the church. It's not your dedication to the church. It's your dedication to your relationship with him. Your dedication to your relationship with him. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm asking you to check yourself. If the only time you open this up is on Sunday, there's a problem. The only time you're opening up your Bible is on Sunday, there's a problem. If the only time you're writing down in your notebook some stuff about God, there's a problem. If that's the only time it's happening on Sunday. If the only time that you're spending in any type of meditation or any type of prayer is when you go through, there's a problem. If you can't praise God through the good, it's your dedication is not there if you're only doing it during the bad. You've made a decision. You made a decision to follow Christ. Did somebody twist your arm? Did somebody put a gun to your head for you to follow Christ? You made a decision to follow Christ. If that's a decision that you made, then you ought to be dedicated. You ought to be dedicated. You want to keep yourself from danger? You want to keep yourself from the enemy throwing you off paths? Then show your dedication. How do we have ways to be dedicated? I'm glad you asked. We have prayer Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There's an opportunity to be dedicated, to show your dedication, to show your faithfulness. We have Bible study on Sunday, on Thursday evenings. There's an opportunity for you to be dedicated. We have Sunday school on Sundays. There's an opportunity for you to be dedicated. We have online broadcasts on Facebook, on YouTube. We have our own website. We are on on iTunes. We're everywhere. LFB, you might have a handful of folk in here, but we are everywhere. And so there's multiple opportunities for you to be dedicated. Pastor Tut has a radio show that happens Thursday afternoons that you can jump on her radio show and be on her radio. We got stuff going on just about every single day of the week that you have an opportunity to go ahead and be involved with. There's an opportunity for you to be show your dedication. You're not showing your dedication to me. I would love for you to jump on there and be on every call. I'm not on there every single time. I would love for you to be on there, but your dedication isn't to me. Your dedication ought to be based upon your relationship with God. That's where the dedication comes in. That's where people wake up in the morning at a certain time and say, well, every day at a certain time, I got a time that I pray in the morning. That shows dedication. Every day, this is what I do. That shows that I got a time that I study, that I got a time that I do that. Showing your dedication. How do you keep yourself from danger? You've decided. Now show your dedication. Amen. 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 Let's see. Let's continue reading. Let's see. Verse 4. Or if ye have another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. I didn't know everything. But though I be rude and sweet, although the way that I deliver it, and I might not be able to do it as everybody else, I'm strong in knowledge, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. We got decision. You got to make your decision. Once you've got your decision in there, you have dedication. Dedication is in there that now I'm dedicated to this word. Amen. And this last D, what do you think this last D is going to be? We got decision. We got dedicated. What do you think the last D ought to be? You look at that scripture, huh? Determined. Thank you so very much. Determined. I am determined to stick it out. Because, see, this is how this happens. Different things are going to be thrown at you. If you've been taking any time and you've been paying attention to your life, you got different stuff that goes on. And I don't know what it is, but it seems like every time you're able to make a step forward or you're able to go another level higher, it seems like there's just somebody else that wants to pull you down. It seems like there's another situation that pops up. It seems like there's always something else in this life that seems like it's designed to pull me back. It seems like it's designed. I feel good about my job and I'm in a good place with my job, but now I got some relationships over here that's messing up. Maybe you feel good in your relationships. Maybe you're feeling good with your bank account and all that, but now I got some health issues that's going. It seems as though every time you try to make a step forward, there's something, but you got to be determined. You got to be determined that I'm not giving up no matter what's going on. I have decided to follow him. God is my Lord and my Savior, and that's who he is to me. And not only is that who he is to me, I'm dedicated to this. I'm dedicated to it. I'm dedicated to be there to do what it is that I need to do so that I don't fall into these dangerous traps. So that I don't get messed up. And I am determined that no matter what comes my way, no matter how it happens, I'm not going to give up. How do you avoid danger? You avoid danger based upon your decision, based upon your dedication, and based upon your determination. Without those things, you'll find yourself going to and fro and not having any understanding to what's going on. But if you take those things and you make those things a priority in your walk with Christ, when danger comes your way, you'll start to see that you'll respond to it differently. Because see, now when danger used to hit me, it used to tear me up so bad. It used to tear me up so bad that I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know how to handle it. But now when danger hits me, now when stuff comes my way, I see it as another opportunity. I see it as another opportunity to go higher. I see it as another opportunity because it's not something that just happened by chance. It's something that God actually allowed to happen in my life. And if it's something that God has allowed in my life, I've made a decision to follow him. I'm determined that I'm going to follow him. I'm dedicated to following him. And so if he's allowed it to happen, then he has an answer for me. There's something that I'm supposed to get out of this. And so now instead of looking at the situation as, oh, this is the thing that's tearing me down. This is the thing that's messing me up. This is actually the thing that God has another designed to lift me higher. He has this situation designed to make me better. You don't believe me? Think about your life. Think about some things that you're going through. I can remember getting fired from a job, and I felt bad that I got fired from the job. But praise God, getting fired from that job allowed me to leave that place and go into something a whole lot better. But I would have never been able to go into that if I wouldn't have left the one thing that I was trying to hold on to. Sometimes we hold on to stuff so long, God's saying, I'm trying to move you to another level, but you won't let go. When are you going to trust me? You said you decided that I was your Lord and Savior. Then go ahead and trust me and watch and see what happens. Watch and see if I won't open it up. Watch and see if I won't bless you beyond measure. You can't handle what I have for you. That's the type of God that we serve. That's the type of God that we serve. So how do we get past danger? First danger, how do we get past it? We got a decision to make. We got a decision to make. That decision is that, Lord, you're going to be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to surrender myself. I realize that I can't do it all on my own. I'm tired of being in the position that I'm in. It's now decision time. It's now decision time. I've decided to follow him. In other words, I've given my life to Christ. If you want to get churchy and get up with phrases, in other words, I'm now saved. Because I've made up in my heart and I've confessed it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's the decision. Salvation. Amen. How do you get past the second danger? Dedication. Dedication. And what does your dedication show? I need you to understand what else lies within dedication. There's obedience that lies within dedication. Don't let the enemy fool you. Perfect, being perfect does not lie within dedication. For those of you that are listening and for those of you that are here that are trying to be perfect, you're wasting your time. You're not going to be perfect by yourself. You can't do it. It's impossible. all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's impossible to be perfect without Christ. The only way that you will be perfect in your imperfections is that when Christ stands before God for you. When he stands as the intercessor for you. That's the only way that perfection will come your way. But that does not mean that we're not obedient. That does not mean that we're not dedicated. That does not mean that we don't strive to do our very best. In the midst of falling, I'm still trying to fall my very best. In the midst of letting go, I'm still trying to do it in the very best way that I can. Because I'm not immune to the fall. I'm not immune to the fall. But I have already decided, based upon my dedication, that as soon as I hit the ground, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get right back up. The ground that I fall on is going to be a trampoline. It's going to push me right back. I'm getting back up. I'm getting back up off of that. Because that fall was designed to push me a little bit higher. That fall wasn't designed to keep me. That fall wasn't designed to take me out. And I don't care what the enemy might have had planned for it. I'm looking at, based upon my relationship with God, that fall is designed to make me go higher, to make me go to another level. Amen. Amen. And how do I deal with the last danger? Determined. I'm determined. I'm determined. It's not going to get me. I'm not turning back. I don't have a plan B. This is it for me. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. I believe in looking at this scripture right here, that we're falling in the same place as the church of Corinth. I believe that we're in a time, we're in a season where it's so easy. There was an article on Atlanta Black Star, I think is the name of the website, and it talked about six reasons that young people are falling away from the church. And they just talked about different things, you know, the church is not as inviting and all this other kind of, you know, it talked about all this other kind of stuff. I'm thankful that God has all the churches that he has. I still see us all as one church, but I'm thankful that he has all of these different churches. I'm thankful because everybody don't get it the same. And God is constantly said, well, here's another opportunity. If you went over there and you didn't feel, then here's another opportunity. Here's another opportunity until you find your place of where you're supposed to be. And I'm not mad that, you know, that we're not having to knock down a wall and all this other kind of stuff and thousands and thousands of people. That's great for some ministries that have that. That's wonderful. That's fine. But you got to find your place. Folk got to stop being so touchy over, oh, well, it's got to do this and it's got. You got to find a word. You got to find a place that you can receive it. And you got to find a place that you'll receive it in a way that you'll respond to it. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. It's not going to always be what you want it to be. I've already come to the conclusion that no matter what decisions that I make as pastor and following God and feeling as though God is saying it, I'm not going to please everybody. I'm not going to waste time in even trying to do that because I can't. I'm going to do my very best. But if I can, I can't. And it's okay. You have to make up in your mind your decision. Look, I'm following him. This is it. I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity that I have to get something else inside of me more about God. Every chance that I get. Think of it this way. Just think the very thing that you need, the very thing that someone needs to say or how it needs to be expressed to you can happen on the next prayer call. Can happen in the next Bible study. Can happen in the next Sunday school. Can happen the next time that you meditate, the next time that you take out time to turn off the TV, to not answer the phone, to sit there and say, I'm going to meditate. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to pray to God. I'm just going to have a conversation with him. the thing that you need, the revelation that you need to make it to the next level is just waiting on you. But the Big Bang Theory comes first, or the such and such TV program comes first, or the Grammy or whatever comes first, or I'm Pastor, you don't know, it's the game tonight. I got to watch the game. I had to, Pastor, you don't know, I got this project at work and I got to really do this project, this thing, this over here. I got all this. We take all this other stuff and we put it before the most important thing that we say is the most important relationship in our life. The thing that we say. Not what somebody else said, but the thing that we've decided is the most important thing in our life, we put other stuff in front of it. And then we sit back and wonder why things are the way that they are. It's personal decision time, amen? Personal decision time. Personal decision time is a time in our service where we say, you know what, based upon what's been said, based upon what's been preached, based upon what's been taught here today, however you want to title that, are you willing to make a personal decision?